Save big on your next project right now at Menards. Save time on your paint project with help from Duck Clean Release Painter's Tape. Use on walls, trim, glass, wood, or metal for clean removal and clean paint lines every time. Save big and get a 3-pack of Duck Clean Release Painter's Tape on sale now through September 22nd. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Oh God, can you hang on a minute, man? I'm just getting to the part where we meet Tom Bombadil. I'm sucked in, dude.
Oh, dude, yeah, no problem, bro.
Oh God, I need my full focus. He's so merry, dude, that I started calling him Brandy Buck.
Dude,
this Rufio guy is gonna haunt me in my dreams. It looks like Rufio stuck his finger in an outlet and got even crazy. Like, it makes sense that he and Poppy are gonna end up together. They're gonna have some of the scariest looking offspring of all time. Jesus Christ, dude. And it's so funny, remember all these zombies. Come on with me, I'll take you to the Lost Boys.
Hello, friends, and welcome to an unexpected podcast. I'm Eds.
And I'm Sane. Lane. Sorry.
and we're Lane and Sane. We are who we are. I mean, we don't know. We don't know who
I am anymore.
Just a stranger and his friend.
Well, did you know that no one can name you, Ezra? You've got to find it for yourself, mate.
Oh, right.
You can't be named, boy. No. Tell your mom and dad that, and tell everyone's mom and dad for that matter. You can't be named, but no one by yourself, you know?
Right. I've been so confused my whole life.
I know, man, my whole life. Well, you thought you were Paul. I tried to be Randy for a while.
Yeah.
Maybe your name actually is Paul. I know it's your middle name, but maybe your actual name is Paul.
Right.
And my real name is Randy. I think we just cracked the code, dude. Those are the names that found us.
All right. Yeah. Here we go, guys. Hi there. I'm Paul. I'm Paul.
And I'm Randy.
And we're chatting. We're chatting rings.
Episode 4, Eldest, dude.
Woo!
You know what they said? I heard them on, I was on Reddit, and there's a subreddit all about Tolkien podcasts,
yeah.
And there's a subreddit all about an unexpected podcast, and most of the people in there are not fans, and that's kind of how Reddit works, but there are a couple. But the people who are not fans, they were like, dude, these guys... I heard the Hobbit Hotline. I heard their review for the first three. I heard how they were just totally, you know, just disparaging people who were asking them to be positive, you know, and they said we'd never say a nice word about this show again. Well, guess what, guys?
Yeah.
We're here to prove you wrong.
Right.
We're here to prove you wrong.
We're going to say two words.
Three. We're going to say three nice things.
Darn it. Went off script. Holy yeah, man! So we actually got lots to say today. All right, so this is the big bad episode with the big bad guy. What did you call him in text messages? Old Ben Bombadil. Is that what you
old Ben Bombadil or old Tom Kenobi?
Tom Kenobi. That's right.
Yes,
old Tom Kenobi out there. So this is the one. I mean, everybody's been wondering what's it gonna be, what's it gonna be like to see old Tom Bombadil in live action.
I think they designed this character to try and win you over. I think they were like, we know how much Ez loves Star Wars, especially A New Hope. We know how much he loves old Ben. Obi-Wan's his man.
Yep.
Can we combine the two? And they thought, by God, they sure did, buddy.
They really did. Is that his real beard? Did he really grow out his beard for this? Is that his actual?
You know what? I'm going to say no. I don't think the real guy could grow any beard at all, to be honest. And that's not a slam on him. That's not a slam on his parents who named him.
Yep.
Or his lineage. I don't reckon that guy. I mean, he's balding. So maybe that he's got the, because a lot of bald guys like myself, we grow nice beards.
Yeah.
We have to. I think it's like literally our genetics going, dang it. Send them south. So I think that sometimes that's what happens, but I think that's probably, you know, as I have a theory on this, I think this Bombadil stuff was filmed like 4 weeks ago, honestly.
Wow.
Now, I know they made the announcement in like June or whatever, but I think they might have filmed it in May, quite honestly. So maybe, I don't know if he had enough time to get a beard on, to grow a beard. So,
yeah. Okay.
While you're looking that up,
yeah,
we kind of had a new idea, because we do know, all jesting aside,
yeah,
we don't like to jest. We like to test and rest.
Come on.
And, you know, caress. I don't know. But we were like, you know, we know there is a population of uppers who have listened to us for a long time, and they have always loved our positivity. And how when we get in time, every time the show comes around, anytime the show comes up,
uh-huh,
that's something that it just diminishes and diminishes and flies away. And
yeah.
And we want to be sensitive to everyone. Like, we want to, you know, we want to give the people what they want, bro. We always have, you know.
For sure.
And so we thought to ourselves, and we kind of talked about this. We were like, you know what? We kind of had a major vent session. We pretty much laid out. You had those five questions you'd have to ask the showrunners.
Yeah.
I had the one major one that has a lot of caveats.
Yep.
And we kind of said, like, we've spoken our piece almost. We've kind of spoken our piece, and to do much more griping, or even just kind of venting or whatever. It's, I don't know how much good it's really gonna do. It's not gonna make us feel better. You know, it probably won't make most people listening to us feel that much better.
Sure.
So what we're gonna do is, from here on out, like, for our main reaction on the main channel, it might be the biggest challenge of all time, but scour these episodes for things that we like, things that we think, that's really cool. I love that. Let's go.
Yeah.
And then, to try and provide, because we also have been thinking about this, we still have quite a few patrons. And those patrons are people who've been with us for years. And most of them patronize us just because they want us to be able to have some beer money. They want us to be able to, you know, afford to have, you know, our kids to have clothes and socks and stuff like that.
Yep.
So, but like, or, you know, take our significant other out on a nice dinner every once in a while. But we're just constantly trying to think of, like, what new content can we give them that's special so that they're rewarded too. So we were thinking, like, maybe our issues we have with each episode,
right,
we will put up on Patreon. It'll be a little less filtered. It'll be a little more raw.
Yeah.
Not saying that either one is disingenuous. Like, we are actually going to tell you things that we've liked about the episodes on the main channel.
Yes, sir.
And then on Patreon, we are going to tell you things that we disagreed with. But you put them together, and that's the whole picture. So that way we figure, you know what, if you only want the things that we enjoyed, you got that there.
Yeah.
If you want both, you can get both too. But I figure, like, most people who probably just want the positive are going to be the people who probably aren't patrons anyway. Maybe, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And if people want to jump in and do that for a few months while we're doing this, and then maybe they like more of the content, maybe they think, hey, $5 a month,
right,
this is pretty cool.
Yep.
And then that will give us more incentive, obviously, to do more Patreon content. So, yeah.
Amen.
It
incentivizes the whole thing, because, you know, one of the main overarching positives about this whole experience is that we're digging more into the lore ourselves.
Yeah, boy.
We've been looking at going back to Moments of Middle Earth and having the Night Breeze, and then at some point picking up and finishing, maybe re-summarizing the first couple chapters of Silmarillion, the old Silly, and rolling forward with that. So we just kind of, that's sort of the big goal. And some folks are just coming in because they listen to other podcasts, or they're just a Tolkien fan. They don't listen. They just want to hear what are actual people saying about this show.
Yeah.
And we gave you that in the first episode, the first review.
We did.
Right? I aired out our grievances. I went through my therapy session. And as Lane said, it's time to try to turn on some the positive sprinkler.
So, Yes.
Yeah, right?
Okay. So we said we would pick, so the episode is Eldest. We won't do any spoilers necessarily. I don't think our favorites are going to be spoilers. I know mine definitely are not. They're not very plot related. But if you haven't seen it yet, you could probably listen to this and remain spoiler free. It was an hour and 2 minutes. We follow the continuation of Elrond and Galadriel's kind of mission. We follow the Stranger and a brand new character, Tom Bombadil, not brand new to the lore, but brand new to the show. And I guess live action, really, we've never seen a live action Tom Bombadil before.
Yep.
And then we also follow kind of a branching off of Nori and Poppy as they run into Rufio, Merrimack.
Yep.
Merrimack, not Rufio.
Right.
And the Lost Boys. And then we hit, at the very end, we get some of the orcs and Adar briefly. And is there anything I'm missing?
Let's see. Anything in, you know,
we get a brief scene with the Dark Wizard as well.
Yes.
I think that's pretty much it. So we follow those kind of stories jumping back and forth.
You said Arondir and Isildur.
Oh my gosh, I blanked that. Yes, we also get the continuation. They get the manhunt for Theo. They go after Theo to try to get him back. They get trapped in the Princess Diaries, Princess Bride Forest of
right.
What is that forest called where they get eaten by the worms? It's pretty much the same thing. But yeah,
Forest of Bad. Yeah,
the swamp rats. Yeah, and then yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. So a lot going on this episode. Honestly, you're bouncing around to different groups of people, and we're kind of all over the place in terms of like what we're seeing. So there was a lot that happened. Overall, I kind of felt like, even though there was a lot going on, I will just say this. It was not the most entertaining of the episodes this season.
Yeah.
I don't know how you felt about it. It kind of felt like even the stuff that was supposed to be, I mean, for instance, you know, you had a Isildur getting eaten by the slug. And again, it's like, well, he's not going to die. We know he's not going to die. So some of the stuff that was supposed to be kind of scary, I think, there's less weight to, because we know these characters, you know, like make it through, but
Yeah. Yeah, and I would say so that's your general, your overall. Is this one is not as it's not as it also seems kind of like less energy. Except for maybe the part where you had the stuff with Galadriel. Well, I guess with Arondir too. That was like you said. It all feels less scary, and it feels less like of an adrenaline rush because we know they make it.
There's no real peril for some of the characters we're supposed to care about the most. You know what I'm saying? So yeah.
Yeah, the more I think about that, I'm like, wait, that's all the characters, right? That's almost. I kind of forget. You got kind of forget. I'm like, oh yeah, they're all kind of solid. Yeah, they're all kind of good. But
what's one thing we said we pick out like two or three things that we really liked? What was one thing you enjoyed from this episode as?
Well, let me think.
Should we go first?
I'm scrubbing through here. I got.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got a couple that I like off the top of my head. So, one of the things I really loved, this is going to sound maybe kind of silly, but the Elven command led by Elrond and Galadriel, their freaking, like tunics, their wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
I love. There was something about that tree that I love when wardrobe details are kind of like either oversized or undersized to the point where you can look at it in different angles or close-ups or whatever and not necessarily know what you're looking at. It almost just looks like just a random pattern.
Yeah.
But it was this tree motif that it almost looked like embossed or something, but it reminded me so much of the Tree of Gondor. I don't know what it was about it, but I just found it really intriguing. I thought the colors were really pretty, and I thought maybe it might be next to Arondir's breastplate with like the ent in it. It's probably the most beautiful wardrobe piece in this entire thing, with that whole cloak that they wear kind of brooched off to one side and draping over the other shoulder. I was like, dude, that's a sick look. So I loved that. I also liked, controversial, I liked the way the Barrow Whites looked. I thought the scene was kind of weak.
It
didn't seem scary enough, but I really liked the Barrow Whites. I thought this was a cool representation. It reminded me of pieces of art I'd seen that John Howe had done in the past. So very evocative of like what I could have imagined being in like the films for Barrow Whites. So yeah, they go kind of hand in hand, but that would be my number one. Love that.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. So I'm looking through and I'm scrubbing through, and I think it's probably the most interesting things for me would be the things that we've never seen before.
Yeah.
And so, although I have mixed very mixed, heavily mixed thoughts on Tom Bombadil. I am, mm-hmm. I'm intrigued to see him. Mm-hmm. I don't quite know. I'm going to save some of my other thoughts for later, but like, I'm at least intrigued that he's there. And I've got a big scratch of the head, kind of what's he doing in this particular location. So I would say my number one is going to be the obvious one. I've got a less obvious number two coming up here, but we'll just go through our ones first. So for that was cool to see him just represented. I mean, I guess just I've never never seen the guy. I don't know how anybody would do it really. And so this is one take on it, and it's up for judgment as we're doing here. I'm just intrigued. That's all. I'm just intrigued. I'm analyzing every line because I do want to know, like, what this is a big one, right? This is a big idea and a big step. It's ambitious to take this on, and it is very I guess if without being negative at all, I think sometimes you, like, seriously, to honestly step back and say it doesn't matter what the lore is, none of that stuff. This is an ambitious task. This is like a big ask. I mean, this was, they got the, you know what, to go and do this. I mean, it's like, and then to stick with it and to double down and not back down and just go tell your story with this character and to create as much backstory and lore as they did is kind of wild. I mean, there's another way to say it, which we'll also, I'll say it in the next, our little Patreon episode. But in all seriousness, I think sometimes when I watch like Star Wars or other shows and they are bold and they, cause it could go one of two ways, right? It could be like that boldness can be awesome. It could be so clever, creative. It could be the thing that makes your show. And I at least like applaud them, I guess, for the overall boldness of going in this direction. You know, at least having this, because again, we talked like last episode and in the Hobbit Hotline, they sit in a draw, like in a drawing room, in a writing room, and they ask themselves, is this a good idea? Should we be more conservative? This is not something that's there. Should we actually go and do this? And they went ahead and said yes. So, do you know what I'm saying? Like, there's some nerve.
No, I know what you mean.
There's nerve there.
Gumption and balls, I would say.
Probably. That's the words.
Some avocados.
Right. And so that, to me, is what has everybody looking in here. Because if you would have, and I'm just a real quick aside, all right? These characters, as most people will know, are not really characters that have roles. This character, I'm sorry, both. The stranger, Gandalf, or Blue Wizard, whatever, doesn't really have a drawn-out, like, written-out role, nor does Tom Bombadil in the Second Age.
Right.
So this is all, again, creation and all crafted by them, and it's ambition. But it is the thing that's interesting. If you kept asking me, like, well, what do you want to see most? Which storyline are you kind of still wanting to watch more of? And, the stranger. I just want to, You do kind of have me intro, like, what, it's so bold and it's so whatever that I want to know the end result. I want to know what's up. Am I right that that's a blue wizard? Like you know, last week evil wizard, is he actually first a blue like I called last week? I mean, cool. I want to be right about that. Does that mean anything? Does that say anything that you're right about something pretty obvious? Whatever. But maybe it's not that obvious. I don't know.
Maybe not.
So,
it's Saruman, you know,
that was a long answer for me to kind of come to the, you know. So people are like, wait, is it Tom Bombadil? Is that what you're like, or is it the boldness? And it's just, I guess, the overall boldness of this.
It's
move.
Well, it's Bombadil, Tom Bombadil. It's Bombadil. These are in no particular order for mine, but oddly enough, number two, my second thing I liked, and I'm going to do a big preface for this, just like you did, because I think you have to, because people know how much we inherently love Tom Bombadil, and people saw us. They saw us in real time, or I guess maybe in going back in time, saw us go into those chapters being like, yeah, I kind of remember Tom Bombadil. He's kind of like a goofy little ding-dong, ring-a-long, ding-a-dong, ding-a-long-a-bing-bong. And they saw us read those chapters. And, I mean, it might have been the biggest love story in the history of Middle-earth, like how we kind of fell in love with Tom. And so, again, this all, what I'm about to say, all has to be prefaced with the fact that, like, when I'm about to say what I'm about to say, you have to imagine me in my own brain taking the sponge that's filled with Tom Bombadil juices and just wringing the hell out of it until there's nothing left and it's an empty, dry sponge.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I'm about to say only works with the idea that I have forgotten everything I've ever known about Tom.
Yeah.
So you argue, yes. Like, yes. Does it actually work? But I've thrown everything I've ever known about Tom, everything I've ever learned, everything I've ever enjoyed about Tom, I've thrown it out the window. All that being said, full disclosure, you know, that being taken into account, I will say that this Tom Bombadil for me, and I know people are gonna be like, this is actually an insult. No, I don't think I'm trying to make it not.
Yeah.
This Tom Bombadil is perfect for this show.
Yeah. Yeah.
This Tom Bombadil works it with this universe that they have made up.
For sure.
Almost completely fabricated on their own. So in that way, I think, like, yeah. So, I mean, if you're going to take the angle of, I will say he's not Mary. If he is Mary, then no one's ever been happy.
Right.
Ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've decided to go with the whole kind of, like, honestly, like old Ben Kenobi meets Yoda, kind of like strange hermit who's slightly lost his mind. You know, he's, is he putting on Goldberry's voice, or is he just imagining that, or is that literally the water talking to him?
Can I
don't really know.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I just jump in real quick on that particular thought? Because it's, you know, the whole thing, the reason I think what you said is actually very fitting is they have wanted to take every single character that we know. And I kept thinking, like, are they going to do the same idea with every character? And they truly have. Unless it's a character we've never met before, like Celebrimbor, Bora, we've never seen him on screen before. Like, they felt like they could just bring him out as ever they, however they wanted to present him, they could just present him.
Yes.
But every character that they've presented to us that we've known before, they've wanted us to connect with and maybe see at a lower point in their arc and their story. And they've wanted, they want us to kind of watch and go on a journey with each one of those characters and watch them grow and progress.
Yes.
And so even Tom, if you take the eldest and you take the most powerful, enigmatic individual in the whole, you know, whatever, Middle Earth, like that's a guy that you've got to, how do you take him down a notch or two? You know what I mean? How do you bring him back to the second age and then have him grow, air quote, to the character that we see in the third age? Because that's what our showrunners have said on multiple interviews, where it's like, you know, they were a little bit like, yeah, well, of course Galadriel has a husband, and of course she's, you know, got a daughter, and of course, right? But like, who wants to see that right away? Don't we want to see her grow into that, you know? And so I think the same thing applies with every character for them that you see on screen. So I think your idea there that he's fitting for this show, he fits the model and the mold that they've made for every single character here in terms of like let's roll them back, let's suppress for a little bit, and then we'll augment them, you know, throughout the seasons and what have you. So
So in that way, like you articulated perfectly, in that way he wasn't disappointing. Like, I kind of had thought he would be represented in a way that wasn't like what we remember from the book. So again, none of this is saying that we agree with how he's been represented or any of that philosophy that they have. But to me, I'm like, okay, I'm not disappointed because, you know, you could tell from the pictures and the stills that they shared, and even from the trailer, that like the most jolly he's going to get, he's going to throw a smile at the camera. Okay. Well, that's not really that silly. So you're going to take a more serious tone with him. You're going to make him kind of mutter song lyrics to himself instead of singing. I mean, go, no, there you go. Ring along the ding dong.
Yeah.
Sand flies in the willow. Like, he's just kind of, he seems more like a kind of crazy guy than he does a whimsical spirit. So he's got this sort of just straight hermit in isolation. Yeah, he's into his plants. He's brought a willow with him, or he's grown it from that area. We've got him, and then he's gonna kind of be like this. So again, like we were talking about, if you're gonna go with that whole angle that the stranger has to learn his powers from someone, like he really just doesn't know who he is, doesn't know his name, he's got to learn his powers, then I guess you know what? I mean, if you're going to go, if we're going to commit to that, we're bought in on that. Yeah. Then yeah, let's make Bam Bombadil Ben Kenobi, and let's put him in a desert, right, and let's have him, you know, whip out the lightsaber and say, right, put the blast shield down, you're ready, kind of a deal. And mm-hmm. yeah, so in that way, I think to myself, you know, we do have the Goldberry piece. We heard her voice again. Is he, maybe he's schizophrenic? We don't know.
Lane. Anybody who has listened to this show knows that you are Tom Bombadil on the show,
yeah,
and you have your Goldberry. That like this has been known through our book club for years.
That's
this has been known.
Yeah.
So when he was in there having sort of like a delusional talking to himself moment, I was like, "Dang, dude! Like, I didn't know the showrunners paid that much attention to our show." You know what I mean? I didn't know. They really drew this guy up, and this is the biggest insult of all time.
Yeah,
they modeled this character. This is like, they're really going for like a more modern day connection to the Tolkien fandom, y'all. They went ahead and said, who we got out there?
Yeah.
Who we got?
Do you think I have a case?
I mean,
I don't know. They've sort of stolen my likeness in a way.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought that was kind of an interest. I will say this. It's an interesting take on a character. And I would say this to, no, I'm going to say that for the other version. Never mind. I got something else to say about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
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 That's my number two. Yeah.
All right. That's your number two. My number two is Estrid.
Okay.
So I will say that this actress, her name, I think it's Nia. I don't know how to say her last name. Nia Tal, maybe? Tal, something like that.
Cool.
Yeah, Tal. So she's cool. She's intriguing. She's relatively unknown. Yeah. I actually do like, whether it be, no matter what the fandom is or no matter what the thing is, like, I like seeing new people, new actors, you know, kind of come on to the thing. And,
yeah,
and I don't think she's been in a whole lot of stuff. I was trying to look it up. But really the most important part for the show is that her character is just brand spanking new. I don't know who that is. I have no idea. Like, I don't really have any clue what's going on. And so she's in handcuffs, then she's out. She's good. She's bad. You know, there's a lot of slingshotting back and forth with her right now. But if I'm looking for something really kind of intriguing and interesting, I'm like, all right, Isildur, what's up? You like, you into this girl or what's going on? I don't know who she is.
She's into you, dude. She's into you, even though she's looking for her betrothed, you know? So.
Right.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Right, and who would by the way, it is, this is just a little thing that you will elaborate on it later, okay? But I keep seeing the YouTube comment from our Hobbit Hotline just says, stay positive. Anytime.
Stay positive.
It's like every single time I just saw it pop up again, stay positive. It was just constant reminder. Thank you, Stanley.
It was
an account called Stanley. All right, so she...
Hold on, if we stay positive, we should win the Stanley Cup.
Holy.
I'm just going to say that.
We should.
If we can do it.
Stanley, will you create us a... Yeah. Well,
create us a Stanley Cup, man, if we fit the standard.
Well, this is our march.
Yeah.
This is our march towards winning that cup. What if, ironically, we were the most, like, positive, you know... Lord of the Rings podcast on
the show. That's not possible because there's others who are getting paid. So
I meant unpaid.
Oh, unpaid. Well, I think we're definitely going to be that.
Yeah, okay.
That's okay. That's like the Bulls in 96. We're like the 72-10 Bulls.
Right.
Regard, for sure.
We're trying to have fun here, okay? We're trying to have fun.
For sure, yeah.
We're one of the comedians. All right. So she is interesting, you know? I mean, like, if anybody is coming out of Mordor and they're like, hey, look. Yeah, it's either you're gonna die in here, or you're gonna swear to Sauron, you know? Okay.
Oh, come on,
Everyone just like they all watch the one guy who like spits, you know, at Adar. Swear to Sauron because you would think,
you would think
that Mordor and all of that
of
would
Mordor.
Be. Yeah, my bad. That's my lore showing. I'm sorry.
Didn't
my
you know?
Air quote deep lol, my deep Sorry. Okay, save it as save it. But that is, she swore to Adar, right? Now I've got to go back and make sure. Okay, my bad.
Yeah.
But
she swore to Adar.
To get out of there, to get out of Mordor, like, heck yeah. Like, why, whatever, quit. I got to, otherwise you're dead. Who's,
right.
Why are these people blaming all these people for, like, taking the brand and, like, you know.
Dude.
Rolling, yo, send me on a mission. I'll go to wherever, boss, you got it.
And kinda, just,
I'm going to, yeah.
I was kind of disappointed in Arondir's response to that. I kind of felt, I mean, I know that he was trying to sniff out an ambush, but I kind of felt like he was super, maybe a little too judgmental of Estrid, but that's fine. You know, hey, Arondir he's got agency. You know, he's also lost his Southlander woman, so he might be a little jelly.
Yeah.
Everything like, be careful of Isildur, you know, they're all going to die, kind of a deal, because he's Numenorean, he's got long life too, so maybe he's just looking out for his boy.
Right,
But yeah, I thought that was a little quick to judge. I was kind of let down by Arondir there, which doesn't happen very often. So
you're right. Let me ask you. Well, and same for all the characters. They're often not let down by Arondir either, which will be a part of my. You know, I've got a whole. I'm going to read the actual text message that I sent you prior to doing this episode. And I'm going to read it just as is, like no censoring, whatever, but
no filter. Yeah.
So is this Estrid character going to marry Isildur? Is that the obvious question, or do we have a name for
Isildur's wife is not named. I don't believe anyway. I think I remember from Tolkien Entangled actually, cause that was a big part of his plot. He actually had a really cool storyline for Isildur's wife getting left in Middle Earth, not Isildur. So,
gotcha.
But yeah, I believe she was unnamed, kind of like Isildur who had daughters, or Elendil who actually had a daughter. It's a lot of times Tolkien didn't name the daughters either.
Right.
You know, it was just one of those things that that's historical. Like a lot of times historically with lineages, like daughters weren't put, it's not right. It's just how it happened. And so he was writing, a prehistory for England, like a mythology for England. And so he followed those same types of patterns that, like, the women, unfortunately, were forgotten and left off the lists. And it's terrible, but that's how it was. So that, I guess when you, like, I think even Aragorn and Arwen, they had Eldarion, and then they had a bunch of daughters, and the daughters aren't named. Like, even them, their daughters are unnamed. It's like, how many did they have? And you look in the, the family trees, and it's like, they had a few. Well, what does that mean? Is that two or three? They had some. They had some daughters.
Well, it's,
like,
it's
Jesus, dude.
A lot of fantasy writers, a lot of them, though, when they're going back and they're trying to capture that feel, and they're trying to evoke some of the things that happened way back in the day, whether it be whatever. Yeah, what's his name? Martin. Martin does it as well too with a lot of his characters, and he says, like, hey, those were terrible times. Like, those were times that were really the War of the Roses, the time that he is inspired by. Just the way he kind of goes about it, he talks a lot about how gritty it was, how grimy, and how backward it was and whatnot. So it's part of his commentary really on that time period. If you look, though, when you type in Isildur's wife on Google, you know how Google has this new, what is it called, Gemini? I don't know what it's called, AI. Taken over. It just pops in there, and it just assumes that I want AI to answer my question versus Screen Rant.
Right.
Why can't I have a good old-fashioned Screen Rant article, okay?
Right.
My God,
yeah,
they turn.
Come on.
I would say, hold on. Did you hear that?
No.
Did you? Oh, wow. So our friend, guys, sorry about that. That's, do you know what that was? So for the audience, this is going to be kind of an awkward one. They probably just heard an alarm go off over top of your voice. There was an alarm going off. You know what that alarm was?
What?
That was recording time for me. That was my, make sure I wake up from my Lord of the Rings nap there. Sorry.
Dang, dude.
Lottie's over in Germany, 6-hour difference. Old boys over, I've been getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes,
oh my gosh,
sometimes
man.
Two. Isn't that crazy?
So we got to wrap this up then. You got to get to bed.
No. I'm good. Don't worry. I took a nap for this, baby. I took a nap for this.
Well,
so that was the alarm.
That's your number two, right? You got your number two.
Yeah. So Estrid is my number two.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. And just the intrigue factor. Like, I think she is Isildur's wife, and AI is telling me that is actually Isildur's wife. It says the timeline of the peoples of Middle Earth suggests that Isildur and his wife met and married at least 20 years before the fall of Numenor in 3319.
Mm-mm-mm. It doesn't say Astrid, though, does it? Are you
serious? It does.
Right,
it says, in the Rings of Power, Astrid is depicted as Isildur's wife. So maybe it has this, you know. It's got the scripts. It's got season three already. AI's.
Okay.
What if AI can predict the future?
I mean, that's what the maybe they're. Well, didn't we say that maybe they wrote the script using AI? sorry.
Wrong show. Wrong episode.
My number three. I'm actually watching them right now. I've got it on in the background. My number three was, and this is the first time I'm seeing them because full disclosure, when I watched it today, I was on my lunch break and I took a walk, right. And my phone was so dark that I couldn't see a damn. So I only listened to this part, but now that I see them visually, I'm going to say visually as well. The Ent wife and the Ent.
Yeah.
Their voices, mostly their voices. I thought their voices were incredible. I loved how they kind of used like wood tones in the background. It reminded me very much of Treebeard with John Rhys Davies.
Yeah.
And so that felt very calm and familiar. I didn't love the scene, obviously, I would say, but I did love the way they sounded now that I'm seeing them. I love the way they look with like the cherry blossoms on the Ent wife. And just, just their voices. I was like, man, that's spot on. That's exactly it. I mean, I could see them talking right next to Treebeard and I wouldn't be thrown off. Because I was kind of afraid. I was like, I don't know how they're going to do this. We saw them in season one, but we didn't hear them, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I really like the portrayal of the Ents.
Yeah. No, they're interesting. And I think that was one of the things, it's not going to be my number three, but that was one of the things that was new. Like, just like Estrid, it's like something I haven't really seen before. I've not seen her before. Yeah. And then I haven't seen Tom Bombadil out here. So they are bringing things that have never really been. I mean, yes, we've seen. It's just the Ent wives aspect of it, right? So that was kind of cool. And so we're reaching a period, and we maybe get the backstory on where they go, which my true thoughts on that will be given later on because I mean it's a lot. It's a lot. So my third was Sadik Burrows. So he doesn't make an appearance in this, but
got a little
he's
cameo name drop. Yep.
Name dropped, and he was one of my favorite characters from season one. Yes. I loved the actor did a great job. His delivery was good. His accent was solid.
He was a cool dude.
Too. And everything that he did, just all of his mannerisms, they felt real. He felt like he was the most. I don't know. Like he really he took us in and eased us into the Harfoots. Yeah. He did a great job. So having a callback to him was fantastic. We never actually saw him. We saw him close his eyes, but I don't know if we ever saw him actually become one with the Force. I don't think.
Dude, I think he went to the big Susat in the sky. I think that's kind of what happened
to
him.
Did he really?
Joe Lewis loved Sadik Burrows as well. So a huge shout out to. It was cool to see his name dropped. Kind of like his origin that he was a Stuer. Can I do a quick little caveat on the Stuers? Because
keep it positive because
I will.
But there's another version of this because you actually know a lot about this, and this is kind of a tie into concerning hobbits. So, of
everything on this show, this is the part. Yeah, this is the part that I kind of felt the most onus on myself to like. Clarify some things. I'm not gonna say educate because that's a douche thing to say. I'm just gonna say it's clarify some things are lore differences from the show because the hobbits are composed of three. I don't know if I'd say like you don't want to say subspecies, whatever. Like the cultures or like kindreds, right? So that's the way I think of them anyway. You've got the Harfoots, who are the most populous and the largest, and who most hobbits are descended from. You've got the Fallowhides. And then you've got the Stuers. And the Stuers, so some of the differences you see here, right? The Stuers were water folk. They loved, which is not natural for halflings at all. So they were kind of peculiar. They're peculiar in a lot of ways. Actually, they're probably the most peculiar, at least in terms of like being the most different from the Harfoots who become the hobbits. They're They're water folk, so they love to be around rivers and streams. And so, for instance, when all the halflings, when they moved westward, and when the Harfoots and the Fallowhides continued west into Eriador in search of a home, the Stoors kind of hung out for a while in the Vales of Anduin. They just didn't, they weren't as quick to move away from the Anduin River, which is pretty wild. They also, they'll mess around with boats. So I think there's some theories that like Smeagol was a Stoorish hobbit.
Really?
Because, you know, he was a clever waterman, and like the being on the boat with Deagle and fishing for his birthday. And then, you know, how the ring was found in the river. So anyway, they love water. Another interesting thing about them is the men can grow beards. So that's also something that's very different. So I guess I would probably be a Stoor, obviously, with my beard and everything. But they grow facial hair. A lot of times they would be mistaken for, they'd be mistaken for like dwarves because their appearance was a little bit different. So that's also a way that they're unique and different. So a lot of the Bucklanders, like the hobbits in Buckland, can draw their lineage back to like Stoorish heritage because they're the queer folk, right? They're queer in the Shire. They're to the east. They're closest to the Brandywine River. They're not really afraid of it. Those folk out there, they'll mess around with boats and get in the war. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of them have even been caught swimming, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Another cool thing about them is that they will wear boots. Like when the weather is rough, they'll wear boots. A small population of them are also in Bree. So the Bree folk hobbits are most generally from Stoorish descent.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's obviously more there, but I wanted to point out that like them being in the desert, probably not. That's again something that's very different from hobbit lore. Them not being surrounded by water, very different from hobbit lore. Them in the show not looking, I mean, I don't think they look distinguishable at all from the Harfoots, did you?
Yeah, and No.
Like to me, I'm like, they didn't look any good. They looked like just a group of Harfoots. Also, like, I don't think Poppy and Nori were like, oh, Harfoots living in holes. That's quite peculiar. I don't think that the Stoors would have been the ones to, just based on their character and like their characteristics, they wouldn't have been the ones to teach Harfoots about living in holes and being settled down. It probably would have been the opposite. So anyway, just some of the differences. I want my hobbits to be represented fairly, and so anyway, just know that those are creative choices they made for the show that aren't exactly what Tolkien envisioned. So there it is. I spoke my piece. I stood up for my halflings. I got on my knees and stood up for my halflings because I love them, dude. I love them, and I want them to be, you know, portrayed the true to Tolkien's envisionment as possible. So
let's go, Ruby.
Yeah, baby.
Oh,
wasn't that nice? I think I said that pretty.
You know.
Oh, there you are, Peter.
There you are, you.
Dang, dude.
You guy. Come on, you guys had to laugh at that one. As you said, you weren't going. Hey, man. That's Mary Mac, dude.
I want to see how they got Rufio's wig to stand that tall, because that was.
That
stuff was on Viagra, man. That wig was on Viagra. It was erect.
You know what? Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I need to go back through this whole episode with the lens. With a hook lens, because Robin Williams was, I mean, we always think about him as a Tom Bombadil. And if you look at Peter in the Hook movie, like anybody who's seen it, right? He starts off, he's not Peter, right? He's, you know,
actually Peter Pan? Is that what you're telling me right now?
I'm serious. Like, Tom Bombadil, like Wendy Lady, you know, she's not quite, she's not quite there. And so Tom,
bro, that would be the biggest gaslight of all time if this was actually an origin story for Peter Pan.
I mean, yeah, or
I think honestly
I just think once I saw Rufio, I was like, wait, there's something there's an undertone or theme here where they're trying to, because again, we everyone has always talked about, you know, Robin Williams being cast as Tom Bombadil. That would have been freaking awesome. There's pictures and images of him out there. It would have been like the best casting. Yeah. So what do? You take some inspiration from Hook, and we have this sort of region out here where see, he's not necessarily in his Never Never Land, right? So yeah. He references the Withy Windle and the Old Forest as a place that he came from. He even said this is like a temporary place where he's at, right? So
I hope next episode we get Mary Mac talking to Tom, and something like happens, like Nori and Poppy go leave the stores and goes, "You mad? You stupid man!
You stupid man!"
If we don't get that, I'm gonna be so disappointed.
I'm actually waiting for the moment where we're back in Tom's, you know, like hut there. And there's from the living room again. The stranger hears something. It sounds like whoa, whoa, whoa. It's I can't even get to it. It's what's his name, man? What's the guy's name? It's he's like
Toodles.
He rolls over. He's like Hook. It's a dog. Dude. Dog's barking outside and. Oh man, and the stranger's like, "What's going on in this place, dude? What is going on? There's some windy lady, you know, with twinkly Tinkerbell type of voice in the other room, and then you've got, you know, Toodles there, marbles are rolling on the ground, and Hook's showing.
If that doesn't happen, I'm just gonna be so disappointed. Yeah, it won't, but that'd be a beautiful thing, dude.
Oh man, yeah, just. Crazy. Rufio.
All right. Rufio. We've got, I do want to say real quick, we've got a couple voicemails from last week's Hobbit Hotline. As let people know, are we doing one Monday? Are we going to wait another week? How are we doing? What are we doing the next Hobbit Hotline?
Yeah, let me pull up the calendar here because, yeah, we want to get one.
About kind of a schedule. Yeah.
We do have some voicemails that we want. What we do is we start off that show with the old voices.
Yeah.
So yep. we can definitely do that. You guys can call that number. And I think I know Mike Charles left us a good one. I think there's one or two more, but that's a good way to do it. I in the future, I don't know if we're going to get set up for this season, but I think I can use WhatsApp in the future to maybe do like some international, you know.
Yeah. Because we got Jimmy O'Connor asking.
Yeah.
And we had Jake Hodgson sending his. Also, like, it's really cool to see people's reaction. Jake, if you want to hear, he and his buddy Caspian, who is a part of DJ Lord of the Rings, at DJ Lord of the Rings, I think. If you just search them on Instagram, they did like a live today that saved as a reel, so you can get their thoughts on it. It's just cool to see, you know, other people taking to platforms and talking about what they, you know, what they thought about it. So
yeah. So I was just, I mean, this is sort of a business meeting on the fly here, but I'm thinking like the 16th of September. Okay. So not this Monday, but the next one.
Next one. Okay. Cool.
If that's okay, and then we would have. That would kind of be our midway point, which is correct. I mean, actually, technically, we did one on the 2nd, and then the 9th is technically after episode 4, right? There's 8 episodes.
Yeah.
But we'll let episode 5 run next week, and then after episode 5, so on the 16th, we'll do another big Hobbit Hotline on Monday night.
Yep.
We'll have Monday Night Football rolling in the background, you know, and stuff.
Yeah,
so
yeah, baby.
I think that'd be really good. And then we'll just have a couple more weeks of the show, and then we'll do kind of a grand finale Hobbit Hotline after it's over and get your guys' thoughts on all of it. But if you are a international listener and you want to leave a voice memo, I think the best way to do it would be reach out to Lane or myself or Talking Tolkien, the Instagram, and I will send you guys a WhatsApp number that you can just...
Okay.
Yeah, just put it in your WhatsApp and then just label it Up Talking Tolkien, and because you can use the Google number. I didn't know this. I had to do some digging on this.
Oh, sweet,
yeah,
dude.
So
that's awesome.
I'll just tie it in there, give you guys a number, and then you just send some voicemails to that, and I'll just sort of collect them, and we'll play them on the show, man. I'd love to.
That'd be an
easier way just to get it kind of – the audio will sound a little bit better because I can use it on my phone and, you know.
Sweet.
People who don't know, season one, I had to go through this whole dongle process to get like a lot – like the actual phone – audio, you know, I had to find something that would work with an iPhone to hook up to my Zoom, and you know, it's a high technology production. So
it is, dude. We're cutting edge. We're cutting edge of the Shire, for sure.
I'm sure there's a better way to do it, but I'm not necessarily on my North Farthing. This is the North Farthing Studios here, right? This is actually Gandalf's pad.
True.
But in the future, though, we're gonna have an updated edition of that. So, Okay, yeah. So the 16th will be our next Hobbit Hotline. Lane and I are going to keep coming back week by week, kind of doing this, and I think we're going to give you the goods, our top three. Sometimes you never know. We might have four. We might have five.
We might. Hey, I mean, if they give us rings, you know, if they give us some checks, we're going to have to.
Yeah, if we see the, if we, know, well, that too.
How
mean,
much is your integrity worth, Ez? How much is it, you know?
At this how point, much is it worth? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I throw a number out there, buddy. Let's. I mean, I got like Han Solo said, I got some old debts to pay off, dude. Like, jeez. But anyway, you've got our three there. I am really intrigued by Estrid and Isildur. I have a lot of problems with Isildur, which we'll talk about in the next episode. But for right now, I mean, I think she's intriguing. I think she's actually.
I think she's the best part of Isildur, honestly.
She's doing a great job.
Yeah, she's the best part of Isildur. Yeah. I mean, she's got potential to have the biggest arc in the entire series, if we're being honest.
Right, right. She's a survivor, dude. I think she's just really.
She is. And now she's going to have the love triangle thing. Like, who does she choose? Does she choose her Dumbagil or whatever his name is? Or does she go after Isildur, you know, that Numenorean?
Yeah, who's fruit? Is there an actual other dude with her?
She found him at the end. He was in that basket with Theo, in the tree basket.
Shut up. I missed that.
Yeah. Yeah. So Isildur's like, oh, God. So, I mean, I think, heavy prediction here, I think that's what they're going to use to make, like, Isildur eventually not give up the ring. Like, he's going to be, save that for the next episode. I think he's going to be, like, all wounded and hurt and stuff. So he's going to be like, fine.
I got something to say about that. All right.
All right.
Here's what we're going to, listen, friends, hey. If I want you guys to rate us on our positivity, please.
I'm proud of us, Ez. I feel like we did a really – I'm not even being sarcastic. I think we did a really nice job there of being honest but still giving things that we thought were good about episode four. So
And we did, by the way, going into the show, because I probably sound kind of hesitant at first and sound like I'm kind of I don't really know if there's anything. I really just didn't have – I mean, I just woke up, you know, 30 minutes ago.
And
I was like, sure, and we did kind of say, like, we made this call just today to decide to kind of divide our show up like this and do it a little bit differently. Yeah. So I think it's better for us, and I think it actually makes – it's going to make me feel better. It's good. So hopefully you guys enjoy it, and, you know, stick around again for next week. Anybody who wants to – those people on Spotify will probably see the episode pop up there. And again, if you want to click on that, we have the commentary, which at the time of listening to this, you're going to hear the commentary for episodes 1, 2, and 3, which is on Patreon. There's a lot of that's just Lane and I sitting in his living room chatting about it. That's definitely a raw. That's definitely a raw conversation. Right. And make sure this is this is for adults, okay? So go.
There's language.
Right,
there's
a little language. Not much, honestly, you know, because we're good.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
we're decent.
A little shock. I mean, sometimes.
We don't post the stuff that's really bad. We never share the stuff.
Dude, no, that's that. Cast it into the fire. You know?
Destroy it forever.
there's that. And then at the time of listening to this, you guys are going to also hear our other thoughts, which there's still going to be some positives here and there, but there's also going to be a lot of ranting, a lot of lore ranting on that as well. And so if you're into that and you want that, I think it's a good way for you to, you know, keep them separate, keep them safe.
Oh, I like that. I like that very much. All right, guys, if you like our podcast, leave us a review, write a squiggle note, send us some cash in the mail. And or a check, whatever
and stay, stay and positive on let, those reviews. Stay positive.
Stay positive on those. Hey, only positive reviews. Leave the negative ones in the trash can. Just write them on a little piece of paper. Burn them in your fireplace. Say,
right,
I let that one go to the universe. Tell your friends. Tell your friends about an unexpected podcast.
Yeah,
or don't. It's okay. Either way, it doesn't matter. We like making friends. And send us a shadow fax. We need more of those. We'll see you. Very soon, next week at the latest, and on Patreon. And remember, never, ever, ever forget that Sauron tries, Sauron lies.
Come on.
And Sauron buys.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, is that Amazon that does that?
Dude.
Oh, true.
That's a transition. That's a transition.
That is a transition.
while the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.